Would you like to take a journey with me? It's in depth. Some things are broad and some things are specific. But each and every thing that we talk about tonight can be applied to each and every one of our lives. Every action or inaction is a result of a decision. This is what I want you to think about tonight. As we go throughout tonight's lesson about King Josiah, decisions he made and results that followed, I want you to think about that statement. Every action or inaction is a result of a decision. Tonight's lesson comes from 2 Kings chapters 22 through 23, verse 29, and 2 Chronicles chapters 34 through 35, verse 27. But who was King Josiah, you may ask? He was a boy. He was a young man. He was an adult. King Josiah began his reign as king at the age of 8. But then when he was at the age of 16, he made an important decision. It was the 8th year of his reign, and he decided to seek God. In 1 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 3, we read, "For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still a youth, he began to seek the God of his father David." He began to seek the God of his father David. That right there was a very important decision that King Josiah made, and it impacted the rest of his life. And he was only 16 years old. Sometimes a lot of young people don't think that they have a big impact. What can I do? I'm just a teenager. But there's a lot of impact. Because we're going to see throughout tonight's lesson that this decision impacted every decision that King Josiah made. If we read, I believe we find the result of this decision. "And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the Asherim, the carved images, and the molten images. He tore down the altars of the Baals, tore down the incense altars, broke the Asherim, the carved images, and the molten images in places, and scattered powder on the graves of those who had sacrificed them. He burned the bones of the priests on their altars. He purged Judah and Jerusalem. He tore down the altars and beat the Asherim into powder in Manasseh, Ephraim, Simeon, Naphtali, and surrounding ruins. He chopped down all the incense altars throughout the land of Israel." So what does that mean to us? Well, first of all, let's look at the decision that he made. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9, it says, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father, and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever." In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be opened." Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." Okay. We've got to seek God. But what's going to happen? Well, with King Josiah, he did away with false gods. He was seeking the God of his father David. And he found out this is not the God of my father David. So he took that away. He went over here and he did the same thing. And he did it over and over and over. But it didn't happen overnight, did it? No. He began to seek God at the age of 16. He did the purging at the age of 20. We don't know exactly what went on during those years, but we do know that he was seeking God. And we do know he did this. If you would, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. I wanted to keep you awake tonight, so not all the verses are on the PowerPoint. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. You lay aside your old self. But now what do we do? Well, what did King Josiah do? A few years later, in the 18th year of his reign, when he was 26 years old, he made a decision. And that decision was to repair the damages of the house of the Lord. Well, what was the result? The house of the Lord was repaired. But they also found the lost book of the law of Moses. So what does this mean to me? What does this mean to me as a Christian? Well, first of all, where is the temple of God? God doesn't dwell in buildings made with hands. So it can't be the church building. Where does he dwell? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. Do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Okay. I realize that God's temple is within me. I realize that I need to rebuild the temple. Because I have purged the things out of it that should not be there. But now there's a void. There's an emptiness. There's an incompleteness. We've got to put what should be there, there. Well, how do I do that? Well, I need to talk to God. I need to pray. But I also need to let God talk to me. And He does that through His Word. He does that through the Bible. And when I study the Bible, I'm going to find things that I shouldn't be doing, that I am doing. And things that I should be doing that I'm not. So to me, it's going to be like I found that lost book. I found things that I wasn't aware that I should be doing. And I'm also going to read about the destruction that's going to come upon the world. That's going to come upon those who don't love God. Come upon those who don't seek God. And He has let us know that it will happen. So what do I do? Well, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 says the following, "And put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." Put on the new self. When I'm seeking God, I'm going to take away the things out of my life that shouldn't be there. If God is not in the music that I listen to, the TV that I watch, the movies that I watch, then I'm not going to go there. Because I'm seeking God. I'm not seeking sin. I'm not seeking the world. I'm trying to find God, so I'm going to go to where He is. But as we rebuild the temple, a few things are going to happen. And it happened to King Josiah. King Josiah made a decision to humble himself, to tear his clothes, to weep. And he made a commandment for them to go inquire the Lord. But why did he feel this? When the law was read to him, he heard about the things that they should be doing that they weren't. The things that they were doing that they shouldn't. And he read about the destruction that was going to come upon them because they were doing those things. And he was saddened because his fathers had been leading the people astray. He was upset because right then, they were not doing that which they should. So he wept. He tore his clothes. He humbled himself before God. But what happened? What did God do? What did he say? God said that he shall be gathered to his grave in peace and will not see the evil that was to be brought on that place. So what's this all mean to me? James chapter 4, verse 10 says, "Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you." Was not King Josiah exalted? He humbled himself. And God said, "You will not see the destruction that's going to come upon the people, because it's going to come." But he wasn't going to see it. And isn't that how it is with us? God said that He is going to destroy the world. But if you seek Him, if you love Him, if you humble yourself, He will exalt us. And we won't see that destruction. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 through 11, we read of the sorrow that King Josiah had. "For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. For behold, what earnestness this very thing, this godly sorrow, has produced in you. What vindication of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what avenging of wrong." I don't know about you, but I see an exclamation point. That's feeling. King Josiah had a deep feeling. He wasn't just sad. He tore his clothes and he wept because of what was happening. So what did he do now? He made a covenant. And by the way, all the people entered into the covenant. The covenant is found in 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 3, and also in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 31 through 32. His covenant was to walk after the Lord, keep His commandments, His testimonies, His statutes, with all his heart and with all his soul, to carry out the words of this covenant. So what was the result? What did he do? He brought out of the temple all the vessels that were made for Baal, Asherah, and for all the hosts of heaven, burned them and carried away the ashes, did away with the adulterous priests, also to those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to all the constellations, and to all the hosts of heaven. Brought out the Asherah from the house of the Lord, burned, ground it to dust, and threw it on the graves of the common people. broke down the houses of the male cult prostitutes, which were in the house of the Lord, defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense, and broke down the high places of the gates. He defiled Tophet so that no man might make his pass through the fire from Molech. He did away with the horses which had been given to the sun, and burned the chariots which had been given to the sun. He broke down and smashed the altars of the upper chambers of Ahaz, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord. He defiled the high places Solomon built for Ashtoreth, Chemosh, and Milcom. He broke the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherim and filled their places with human bones. He broke down and demolished the altar that was at Bethel and the high place that Jeroboam had made, and burned down the Asherah. He burned the bones from the mountain on the altar and defiled it. He removed all the houses of the high places which were in Samaria, just as he had done at Bethel. He slaughtered the priests of the high places on the altars and burned human bones on them. He removed the Medians, Spiritists, Teraphim, the idols, and all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and Jerusalem. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 33 says, "And Josiah removed all the abominations from all the lands belonging to the sons of Israel." Now I know that was a long list. Why did I read it? Because the word "all" encompasses a whole lot. King Josiah decided to give God his all, which meant that left nothing to false gods. That left nothing to Satan. So what's that mean to me? Well, we're called to make a similar decision, aren't we? Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 38. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind." Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 28. "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." So brothers and sisters, what's left when we give God our all? What's left? Because sometimes I think in how we live our lives and how we place our time, we think that it leaves a little something. But it doesn't, does it? I give God my all. I love Him with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, and all my mind. That leaves nothing for false gods. That leaves nothing for Satan. And that leaves nothing for sin. We're going to sin, yes. But is it sin that I know that's wrong and I keep doing it over and over and over? I know it's wrong, but something I just can't stop. But if we gave God our all, we could stop, couldn't we? Sometimes we think that we're alone. We think that we're by ourselves. And you say, "Jordan, I have tried to stop, but it still won't work. I try it over and over and over, and I keep doing it. I know it's wrong, but I keep doing it." That's why we have the church, isn't it? Because the church is the people. It's not a building we go to every now and then. It is the people. We have the church around us every single day. But do we ask them for help? Sometimes we ask God for help, but do we think about our fellow Christians? Because God works through Christians. God works in many ways. King Josiah made a decision. He made a decision not only to take away all the bad things, but he also made a decision. He told the people to celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God as it is written in this book of the covenant. And the result was, surely, such a Passover had not been celebrated from the days of the judges who judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel and of the kings of Judah. What's that mean to me? A simple phrase that Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. We ask, how can I love God with all I have? We keep His commandments. We keep His commandments. Colossians chapter 3, I invite you to turn there with me. To Colossians chapter 3. Verses 12 through 15. King Josiah had already taken off the things that should not be there. He had taken it out. He had put it off. But now there's something else. As we just read, he did the Passover in such a way that it had not been done. So please read with me. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. If I simply take out of the things out of my life that shouldn't be there, I'm going to feel empty. I'm going to feel a void. If I take off, I've got to put on something. I'm either going to put my old self back on again, or I'm going to continue to seek God. I'm going to continue to love God. And I'm going to put on the things that He needs me to put on. Three overall results in King Josiah's life that I want us to look at. First of all, he did right in the sight of the Lord. Second of all, he walked in all the way of his father David. Third, he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. It is said of King Josiah in 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 25, "And before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him." So what's that mean to me? Well, if he can do it, we can do it too, right? He was a human being just like us. But he made some very important decisions. When we pass on, will the same be able to be said of us? He or she loved the Lord their God with all of their heart, with all of their soul, with all of their mind, and all of their strength. God doesn't just ask for some. He doesn't just ask for a little bit. He asks for it all. Is it selfish of Him? He gave us all, didn't He? He gave us His Son, who lived a perfect life on this earth. And He died, and then He rose again, so that we may do the same. So that we may die with Him in baptism, and then rise up. But my question is what have we done after we rose up? In Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, we read, "And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death, in order to present Him before you holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister." We have a very important decision, and that is to continue. To continue in faith. Because what I saw is that I must continue. It's not an option. I must do it. At one point in my life, I made a decision to seek God. And so as a result, I took that out of my life which should not be there. Because I was seeking God. So I'm not going to go where God isn't. I'm going to go where He is. And when I found that, it impacted me. Because not only have I sinned, not only was I in the world, but some of my friends are. Some of my family may be. And past family. People who have passed on. And we are sorrowful because only if they knew, only if they realized. That's where we come in, isn't it? Every single day. I know that in a lot of ways I'm saying the same things over and over and over. And that's to make a point. Because that's what we are to do each and every day. To continue. Over and over and over and over. But God, I gave you a whole week. Can I just have a few minutes? Just this little thing. It'll be okay. I'll stop. I'll never do it again. But then I do it a little bit more. Do it a little bit more. But God, all these years I gave my life to you. Can I just do this for me? Is it okay? No. He wants our all. Now, am I saying we can't have fun? No. I can glorify God in a lot of ways. With my attitude. How I react to certain things. Every action or inaction is a result of a decision. Now, what does that mean to you? How does it apply to your life? Because it is important that we think about it. Because it has to do with our salvation. Let me say it again. Our salvation. Whether or not we are saved. God has done what is necessary. But He has now said, it's your decision. What are you going to do? Are you going to give me your all? Or are you going to give me some? Because He's going to spew out the lukewarm. With God, there really is no straddling the fence. We're either for Him or we are against Him. So what is it? Now think about the same questions. If your coworkers were asked that about you, what would they say? How about your friends, your family? What would they say? Because it's important. Because God is our judge, yes. And He will judge us according to this Word. But are others seeing God in us? Because as we read, we are a temple of God. He is in us if we let Him. Are our lives a place where we're proud to say, God lives in me? Now, have I made myself holy? No. By all means, no. God did. And as a result, I'm going to obey His commandments. Why? To get into heaven? No. Because I love Him. A result will be, I go to heaven. I spend eternity with God. But I do it because He first loved me. I do it because I love God with all of my being. It leaves out nothing. While I was preparing for this lesson, a lot went through my mind. And it really hit me. About things that I had been doing that I shouldn't be doing. I knew it was wrong, but for some reason, I didn't stop. And you know why? Because I didn't love God with all of my being. He didn't ask us to love Him just some. He commanded us to love Him with all. This is Bible class, so there's not an invitation. But if you're not a Christian, and you know what you need to do, when this is over, please come see us. Because we don't know when it's going to be too late. If you are a Christian and you need help, look to the person beside you. There are plenty of us who care. We're here to help. Well, the only way we can help is if you come to us. As if we know. Please turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. And then tonight's lesson will be concluded. And it's going to end with this. But tonight before you go to sleep, tomorrow morning when you wake up, and then the next night when you go to sleep, and the next morning when you wake up, I want you to think about this phrase. Every action or inaction is a result of a decision. The bad things that we do and the good things that we don't those are actions and those are inactions. And it has to do with a decision. We need to make an overall decision to seek God. To rebuild His temple, where He dwells, and that is in us. And then we make a decision to love Him with our all. And then we make a decision to obey His commandments. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is anything excellent, If anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you.